All right, we started a new series called Health to All Their Flesh last week, and I want to start, we'll get to, we're going to turn over to Proverbs 20, or 4, verse 20, excuse me. Go ahead, go to Proverbs 4. This will be our text. Praise God. So God wants us to understand that life and power are in His Word. You know He wants us to understand that. You know God knows everything, and so we don't. There's a whole lot of human beings that are walking the earth that don't have a clue about what God has done through Jesus. It doesn't make it any less true, but you know, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change reality in that it doesn't change what is true or not just because you or I do or do not believe something. Some people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, okay. That doesn't make it any less true. People are like, well, I don't believe in God. Well, He's real, and He exists, and He loves you. Well, I just don't accept that. Okay, but He's not going to disappear because you don't believe in Him. He is the same, and He's here, and His hand is to all humanity. Right now, all around the world, and yet some people don't believe in Him, and they somehow... I'm not saying people consciously say that, but I don't believe that, as if it stops mattering for them. I don't believe in hell. Well, hell is there, and it's a serious thing. It's not a laughing matter. And people, I don't believe it, as if I ignore it, kind of like sticking your head in the sand, if I ignore it, it's going to go away. It's not true. There is a reality, a truth of God, the universe, the way it is. I mean, men are theorizing and trying to figure things out, and, you know, but how many of you know God knows exactly about, He knows everything about everything. He's not in the dark about the universe or its origins, or He was there. He knows exactly how everything, He designed it. And there's a reality and a truth, and there's the way the world works. There's the way His Word works. His Word is life and truth and power, regardless of who believes it or not. Now, to those who believe it, it can become real in their lives, which is the difference. And it's the same in any area of life. You can decide you're not going to believe something, so you may give up some benefit, but it doesn't change the fact that certain things are true. I mean, God has been on the throne before any of us came on the scene. And His words and His statutes and His way of doing things are right. Men are figuring certain things out. And to us, to humanity, some things are revelation. Some things are new. But to Him, there's nothing new. He already knows everything. And He knows what's truth and not. And humanity is finding out certain truths, even you talk about medically or scientifically. They've always been true. They were true in Jesus' day. And God knows. He knows exactly the truth about any situation. And He knows what needs to happen. And He has set down laws in the universe. And men have gotten a little bit of knowledge about some of them. And He's given us His Word to tell us a whole lot about areas. But we have to let that Word be truth in our life for it to affect us. In other words, it's true right now for every human being on the face of the earth, but whether the crux of the matter is, do people accept it or not as truth? If they accept it, it's going to affect their lives. If they don't, it won't. But it's not because God changed. And it's not because God's playing favorites. Because he doesn't play favorites. In other words, the world is, the universe is, the existence is, God is, and he has truths which he has shared with us in his word. And we need to know that his word, it is life and truth. He wants us to know the truth of his word, but the way it's going to matter in our life is if we decide, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to act like it's true. Because you can hear it and dismiss it. You know, people do it every day with Jesus in the truth of salvation. They'll hear it and they dismiss it. And to them, you're not going to be saved dismissing the truth of what Jesus did on the cross. It's true, but see, I don't believe all that. That's religion. Okay, to that person, it's as if it's not existing. But it is existing. It is true. And that's not God's choice. It's men's choice. It's what we decide to do with it. Getting ahead of myself, but let's just go on here. I just read just introducing this. But God wants us to understand the life and power that's in his word. When God made the world, he created the earth, he created the sky, and the great expanse of this universe with words. Do you believe that? Do you know that? That's what it says in Genesis. He said, let there be. Let light be. You say, well, that's God. Yeah, but that's how he did it. And he said, our words have power too. But his words, I mean, his words are all powerful. And we have his words written down here. I don't know that we really comprehend I know it's just a physical book, but it contains the word of Almighty God. It contains power. These words are power. It doesn't matter if it's in a physical book. It doesn't matter if it's on your phone. The words contain power. But God's words they're a never-failing remedy for any situation or circumstance that might come your way. They don't ever fail. They're all powerful. Sickness and disease is no match for the Word of God. They are the remedy for the Word of God, or the Word of God is the remedy for sickness. So let's read Proverbs 20. We'll read that. Maybe we'll say a few more things here, but I want to read the scripture. Proverbs 4:20, my son, give attention to what? To my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. What does it say? That the first part says, my son, give attention to my words. So hold your finger there and let's go over to John 6:63. Going over some of the things we went over last time, but this is going to be the main thrust of what we're talking about. We're going to go further, but we're going to hit this in different ways. This is the emphasis. John 6:63. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 6:63. Praise God. You all there? John 6:63 said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." This is Jesus. He's saying, the words I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life. Do you realize that these words, that they carry a punch beyond just the sound? They're spirit. God's word. Not all words are spirit. Not all words carry a punch like this. But the word of God, God's words are inexhaustible. And if you pay attention, you can tell that. You read His Word. You cannot, it's not like reading another book. You know, I've read certain books in my life, and maybe some books I've read more than once. A few. But, I mean, and I know some people will read the same book over and over, and they really like the story or whatever, but they're not the same as the Word of God. It's inexhaustible. It's life itself. It's power. You can read it, and you can read it, and you can read it, and you'll see more and different and things. It is living. It's not dead. It's not like, well, I assimilated that knowledge so I can move on. I need to get a different book. This isn't a huge book. I mean, it's sizable. But you can read it. You can read it every day. You can read the same verse every day for the rest of your life, one verse, and get something new out of it every day. Why? Because you can't exhaust God. And God is, His Word is from Him. In fact, it said the Bible calls Jesus the Word. You can't exhaust Jesus. We're not good. You know, some people say, what are we going to do in eternity? Like, it's going to get boring. Well, you're dealing with an infinite God. He doesn't ever run out. And I really don't think, well, let me just say, even mankind, what we're coming up with. I mean, can you imagine? Well, we're just going to, there's new things all the time. Where we live, I mean, good night. Over the time that we live in, you just see new things all the time. Well, God is not going to run out of stuff in heaven. Some people have this concept like we're going to get up there and we're going to be bored. We're not going to be bored. I don't know exactly what it's going to be like. We see a little bit of a glimpse of what it's going to be like, but we're not going to be bored. It's not like we're going to run out and God's like, well, I don't know. That's all I got. All the good stuff, I gave it to you. I don't know. What should we do? You want to play cards? Good video games. I mean, got any good movies? Let's go watch another movie. I mean, we got have a movie millennia, you know. No, it's not going to be like that. He's infinite. So eternity is not a long time when you're dealing with a God who's bigger than that. Well, you say, how can that be? Well, he always has been. Our brains can't comprehend it, but He has. So you're dealing, when we're dealing with the Word, we're not dealing with men's ideas. We're not dealing with something man-made. We're not dealing with limits. We're dealing with the Word of God. It's true whether you or I understand it completely or not. Jesus said His words, He said, my words are spirit, they're life. They're zoe. That's a Greek word there. It's life. There's a punch behind them. To go back over to Proverbs. So verse 20, Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. And we started off saying God wants us to understand the life and power that's in His Word. He wants us to understand this. And I went on to read the Scripture, but I felt like we keep going. I mean, we were drawn back to that. He wants us. You could just see God, He is life. He is truth. His words are life and power and truth and strength. And He yearns for His creation, us, to understand how much power is in the Word that we already have. I just have a picture of Him going, if I could get this over to you, if I could get over to you what you're holding in your hand, that you're dealing with my Word. If you could understand this, you don't. What you need to realize is that the solution to every problem that you could face on this earth is already taken care of in that book that you're holding in your hands. It's life. And He wants us to understand this. It's not like so much of what we think we're waiting on God for. I mean, we're not waiting on God. We're not waiting on God for it. Well, that would mean that God's somehow late. God is not, He's not late, and He's not just, He doesn't do things for no purpose. There, like we said, there is truth in this world. There is truth. God has created laws. His Word He's given to us. Jesus has died on the cross. He's given us the ability to have life through His sacrifice. And God the Father wants us to understand what His words are to us. Because His words describe what He's done. His words describe what He's paid for, purchased for us, what our rights and privileges are. They're ours. And His words, by us accepting them, will change any circumstance in our life. So what He longs for is for us to understand what His words are to us. And as we accept them, they change us. He didn't change. He's not going to all of a sudden flip into a different gear and be like, oh, okay, well, now I'm going to act for this person. It's never like that. Do you understand? That's never happened. That He somehow changed and decided He was going to do something. He's always known what He's going to do in every situation. He has set out His word. What we need to do, or what He desires for us, is to act and to take His words for what they are, and to take and act on the life that is already ours. In Jesus, we find out about that through His words. As we accept His words, as we take His words as life, they can affect every situation. So verse 20 here says, attend to my words. My son, attend to my words. That means focus, give your attention to His words. His words are full of life, they're full of health, they're healing, and they're like medicine. They act like medicine. The Bible says here that my words are life, but my words are health to all their flesh. Actually, a connotation of that word is medicine. They're medicine to us. They're actually medicine to us. And actually, they'll change us. It says, verse 20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. Notice that, to those who find them. They're there, and they're all these things all the time, but it's those that find them that are going to experience what they can truly do. Just like what we were saying, God, His desire is for us to understand the power and the life that are already in His words. It's already today. You walked in today, nothing is changing right now except our understanding of His word. In other words, His word is not going up in power because we start to understand something. We're just discovering what was already there all along. Amen. Amen. Just because we start to see certain things and we're like, oh, you know, certain things start happening in our lives as we receive what God has said, as we act like His word is true. This will work in every area, regardless of people. If they're acting on truth, it'll work. When people act on truth, if it's God's word, whether they know it's God's word or not, it'll change their lives. It'll change our lives. But the fact is, and I think what we're emphasizing this evening, God's words, they are their truth, their life, and they exist. His truth is there for us to grab right now. It was yesterday, it was last week, and it will be tomorrow. The differentiating factor is, what are we looking at? Where is our attention? What are we listening to? Because that's going to determine what we have, what we receive. It's not Him. His word was the same 100 years ago. It was the same 1,000 years ago. It was the same when Jesus was walking the earth speaking these words. His word was just the same then as it is in 2016. In the dark ages, His word was just the same when majority of the world had no clue. The dark ages were because men had turned away to other things and the truth of God's word did not change. Men's understanding of God's word, that's what changed. It faded. Things were lost, not because they weren't true anymore. It's because people looked at something else and they replaced God's word with religion. And so the truth wasn't manifest as much. So we had what was called the dark ages. People's minds were darkened. People's understanding of God's word and God, the things of God, were darkened. And then slowly there was a revival of different things over these last centuries. They're not new. It's just that people's understanding of the word started to be restored as they what? As they attended to His word. People started to see what was in the word. That's what happened with Martin Luther. He was reading the word for himself and was like, wait a minute. This stuff we've been believing, this isn't right. It's not by works, it's by faith. It says it right here. The Bible says it's by faith. Well, that was, people had not been looking at His words. They were looking at religion. In fact, majority of the people didn't read the Bible, couldn't read the Bible. It wasn't in the vernacular, the common language of the people. So people couldn't attend to His words. They had to get it through somebody else, the priest, and the priests didn't know what the word was. So the word is the truth and up there, and it's all locked away because nobody's reading it. And so what do they get? They get a different version of it. The word has been replaced with something else and been communicated as God's word. Well, it's powerless. It wasn't God's word. It was a counterfeit. It was religion. It was man-made. It was manipulative. People think they can buy stuff so that they can get rid of their sins. I mean, it's just, it was corrupt. And so you have people suffering, people not knowing God, people being told lies about God, people running away from God because if God's like that, I don't want to be with God. But God, all that time, never changed. His word never changed. There were the original scriptures that whole time. Men just didn't know them. And so that's humanity, what happened. But every person is a small example of that exact same thing. Families, individuals, God has never changed. Our families may have gotten away from God. Maybe at one time our families were, well, we know all of our families, you know, if you trace them back up, we're all come from a common ancestor. So we all believed God, our families all believed God, but they went to different places. So our families, decades ago, they might have known God, but something happened and they got off. Or they might not have known God, but recently they realized they started looking at the Word. And so somehow, wherever we are, we're at some place in there where we came to know God, we know Him to a degree. Maybe our parents knew God and passed that down to us. But what we're experiencing of God, it doesn't have so much to do with God. It has to do with our understanding of His Word and how we've esteemed His Word, how we've received His Word. And right now, today, what we're experiencing life has everything to do with how we've attended to His words. Amen. His words are life and truth. The good news is they're sitting there. I say sitting there, I mean they're in your hand. But His words, the words of truth, are resident just the same, actually as they always have been, because they were, before they're ever written down here, that was part of God. He spoke them into this world through men that yielded to the Holy Spirit, and they exist. I mean, they were captured and written down for us. But they're there. They exist. They're truth. And to a degree, we've attended to the Word or not attended to the Word up until this point in our life. And right here, Proverbs is telling us, attend to the Word. Today, we don't have the problem of not having the Word. We don't have the problem of it being in a language that we can't read. That's not the problem. The result can be exactly the same, though. We have the Word. I mean, you can go to any number of websites, see the Bible in any number of translations. You can go to any, I mean, you know, any department store, you can go to Walmart, you can get a Bible, any number of translations. It's no problem to get your hand on the Word. But you could have one of these sitting at home, and it might as well be in a different language. Because if we don't actually look at it, and then we could look at it. So we don't look at it, well, it might as well be in Latin. But if we look at it and don't let it dictate what we actually believe, again, it might as well be in Latin. It's information, but if it's only information and it's not, this is truth and this will dominate my thoughts. This will dictate what I think. We said it last time, and we can see it here. It says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. What does that mean? When you're inclining your ear to something, you're focusing on something and blocking other things out. You're paying attention to something more than something else. So we could hear the Word, but if it's just another voice in the sea of voices, it's just another data point in our day, it's good to read the Bible. It's good to have devotional. It's good to spend time with God, and that's very important. But if it's just another point that we do, and people can do it religiously, we should not, let me just say this, we should not be doing our devotions, if you want to say it that way, or spending time with God, reading the Bible out of guilt. You may have done it. I know I've done it. I need to do that. Well, you should do it. You should do it, just like you should exercise, you should eat different things, but it's not, it shouldn't be guilty. Because you're doing, you, why would you look at the Word, you spend time with God because it's good for us, it's going to nourish us because His words are life. But if we're doing it like, okay, I'll go and get it over with, I'll get it so I can check off and I can feel good about myself, something's wrong. And unfortunately, religion has made it this way. All that stuff we were talking about, that stuff that was going on in the early centuries and then through the Dark Ages, was very guilt. It had a lot of get guilt laden. You need to do this and that, or God doesn't love you, etc., etc. And that's been built into a lot of people. So that's how they associate doing things that cleanse their conscience when it really doesn't cleanse it. But it eases their conscience to make them feel like they're doing something for God or doing the right thing. But that's not why we should read the Word. That's not why we should spend time with Him. It's so that we can, number one, we love Him, we fellowship with Him, but His Word, it's like eating spiritually. It's life to us. But we could do that. You could just read the Word, not pay a whole lot of attention to it, but just read it, and it's just another point in your day. But there are 15 other things that you're also going to read. Now, I'm not against reading news on the web or anything like that, but you're going to read this website, and you're going to read this newsletter, and I'm going to go look at this, and pretty soon, God's Word is just another voice in the midst of a bunch of voices. And if something comes up in my life, well, God's Word says this, but so-and-so said this, and such somebody else said this, and it becomes where it's diluted. It's not dominating my thoughts. It's not, this is God's Word. It always has been. It always will be. I don't care what this circumstance appears. If God's Word says something about it, then that's what I choose to believe. It's not life to us. It's not truth to us. It's a truth. They're just words. And this is where a lot of people are. Now we go back to God. God's heart for us is so that we can understand what His Word is to us. The truth that it is. The truth and the strength and the life that it is to us. That's His heart for us. But part of that is, number one, looking at His words. Number two, blocking out other stuff. Taking His Word in through our eyes, through our ears, attending to His Word, opening our ears to His sayings, and closing our ears to other sayings. Doubt, fear, unbelief, things that are not of God, things that would contradict the Word, things that would take our attention off the Word. You know, you guys know as well as I do what it means to dilute something. You can have, you know, I'm thinking of where they say like certain cleaning materials are concentrated. Yeah. So you can have something that's concentrated, or you can have something that's diluted. If you take something that's very powerful, let's say it was a cleaning solution, or something that would be very powerful, and it, if in its concentrated form, you know, it's so powerful it's dangerous, like to your skin. But if you drop that thing in 8 gallons of water, all of a sudden the resulting solution, it's not so powerful. It won't do. It you can rub it. Well, you're using the cleaning solution, but yeah, it's surrounded by water though. God's Word is like that. We sometimes, well, yeah, I'm taking His Word. I'm looking at His Word. Yeah, but what in the sea of what? How? What's the place it has relative to other things? And this right here is where we are so many times in our life. Like we just mentioned to sew things up here this evening. We mentioned how, like in the Dark Ages, the word wasn't available. So people did not hear it. They heard religion. They might hear a little bit of the word here and there. But today, the word's available. The problem is there's so much other thing, so many other things available too. So just as easy as it is to get the word, you can get 15 other things. So you get the word, you can get the word easier than you can get it any time in the history of mankind. You can hear teaching about it on demand. You don't have to go to a physical place. It used to be you had to go hear it. Yep. Now you can hear recordings of it any time, 24/7. The problem is those same avenues, all those same avenues where you can hear the word, other than like being here, being at a physical place, you can also get any number of other things. Yes. And we as humans, we're easily distracted potentially. And so you get some word, but then you also get this over here and this over here and this over here. And guess what? That word that is powerful, that is life, that is strength in and of itself, it's diluted to where you're hearing the word, but you're also hearing all this other stuff. And that word is not having the effect, even though God's there, even though he's true, even though he's never changed in our life. It's coming into our ears, but so are these other things, so the effect on our understanding is diluted. Amen. So our effect is not much different than those that actually only had a little bit of word. But the good news is, God's word is life, it's health, it's the truth right today, and it's just a matter of us adjusting how we're viewing it. Because the power's there. The truth is that if we can understand what God's word is, our estimation of it and our place that we give it in our life could change, should change, and then guess what? Our results change. Amen.